the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. On the heels of the fantasy football draft, I wanted to do a fantasy football show tonight to get you acclimated, get you the information you need to compete in this league. This is a bigger league than most. We are 18 teams in. And when you're dealing with a team like this, you have to be very precise in the way you draft. I know a lot of leagues, there are 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues. You have to be able to sort of kind of look at the waiver wire, and hopefully you can make some hits off your misses through the waiver wire. In a league like this, you may not have a waiver wire. It may be free agents may come pennies on the dime. So it's more important for you to hit on your draft, because that's going to be the source of your core strength in an 18 team league. So definitely you're going to get out there, get some information, get you some strategy, some breakouts, some busts. And some of the busts I name might kind of shock a few folks, but I have my reasonings for it. You guys can do what Mr. Nicholas Wilcox from Sports Breakdown has done. He dialed 706-993-4606, and we have Mr. Nicholas with us now. How you doing, my friend? Nicholas.
Hello?
Nick?
Yes.
What's up, man? How you doing, my friend?
Oh, fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Cannot complain. Was just saying I wanted to get some fantasy football talk out on the heels of our Red EM Fantasy League. I did narrow it down to 18 teams, and I feel that in a team or a league that large, whether your draft picks are crucial, because that's going to be the strength of your team.
Dude, that's just too many teams for me. I mean, congratulations to whoever will win that league. That is just way too many. Those type of bigger leagues, it just kind of comes down to who's going to be healthy at the end of the year,
right?
And it just doesn't become fun. But it's fun to think about, you know, who you can get, and then who you have to really specialize in getting, and who you're going to have a drop off in some positions.
And there's some positions this year that's deeper than others. I think this year your quarterback and your receivers are going to be deep.
Yep.
They may not be, depending on your league scoring. ESPN is 6 points per passing touchdown, at least our league is. You might have some leagues that's four. So you want to sort of kind of, I guess, a QB and receiver, you kind of look at value more than name.
Oh yeah, no doubt, yeah. It's RB, it's running back, and especially in that deep of a league. Oh boy, if you don't pick a running back in your first round pick, you've already lost.
Yeah, and you really can't take it as a strategy to running backs. It's called the zero RB strategy.
Don't do it this year. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's when you wait much deeper into the draft to look at your running back spot. And in that case, you're not looking at tier one. You're not looking at tier two. You're not even looking at tier three. You're looking at more like tier four, five, and six. And I'm not saying it's not possible for those guys to hit, But more than likely, no.
No, absolutely not. No. But I think it's just, if you're thinking about big, like, league like that, my strategy would be, you know, just simply getting the best player available. I think that will help my team based on positions. Like, you're going to grab your RB1. You're going to grab your RB in the first round. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you're going to want to try to get at least another one before, because there's going to be a big drop-off, especially on the 18-team league. There's going to be a big drop-off after that first round already. So, that's, I mean, if you're playing with smarter drafters, like, you know, there's definitely going to be a huge drop-off regardless. So, yeah, like, that being said,
hope you guys
have lots of fun.
What quarterbacks are you in your league? I thought I saw you draft last night with someone. I think you...
So I was helping my boy Snowman, guys who don't know Snowman. He's a good friend of mine, and he hadn't done fantasy football in over 20 years, and I saw him struggling on live, and I just started to pop on there and ask him, you know, just like to steer him in the right direction for some guys that I definitely like. So at quarterback position, right, there is a discrepancy in tiers, obviously. We think about A-Rod, of course, but he's going, I feel, a bit too, like, you know, in some cases, depending on your league, you know, there's going like late third, early fourth, and for what we're just talking about when it comes to, like, you can pick whatever kind of quarterback you kind of, you know, feel like you can grab. But for me, there's guys that I want based on a certain round, and then after that, I could just wait. So, usually, for quarterback and tight ends, you're usually going to look for guys who are, you're going to want to have first, like an A-Rod, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, these type of guys. You want one of those guys first, but if not, there's tons of value late at quarterback this season. And I'm seeing Dak Prescott going 11th round, Matt Ryan going 10th round, like Stafford going like 9th round. So there's, depending on who you want as your guy, you know. So I always like to get a guy who can still stabilize my whole roster. Guys like, there's two guys in particular that I just love for my drafts: Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. Both of these guys have proven to be top five every year, and they don't cost me the highest of draft picks. I've seen Drew Brees go anywhere from late 5th to early 7th round, and Russell Wilson being totally disrespected, being taken, you know, like 6th round. So those are the guys I'd probably target in those rounds. If not, I'll just wait for another quarterback to fall to me.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you looking at somebody, and I'm glad you brought up Drew Brees, because I feel that part of your quarterback strategy, again, we talked about it earlier, value, value, value. But you also want to feel like, to me, it's like you're stealing him from the rest of your league. So you can look at a guy like a Matt Ryan. You can look at a guy like a Phillip Rivers or a Derek Carr. Hell, that Prescott, even, if it comes down to it, you can look at somebody like that in your later rounds and fill up on your running back and your wide receiver positions, and then you can come back around and grab somebody like that. I think you'd be in pretty decent shape.
No, I think that's what you... I think that's the overall strategy is going, because when you're seeing... you know, I was looking at a high dollar value league where $350 is like the team amount, like, you pay to become a team in a league. So it's like high expert, like, type of league. And QBs really didn't go to like the 6th round. So that's where I'll try to grab my QB if I feel the situation is right. Every draft is different based on who you're drafting with. But in most cases, I'm just going to wait to see what my quarterback is going to be, because, like I said, like we were saying, QB is so deep. I think the goal is to make sure you get your solid balance of who you are, running back or receiver. And then, you know, based on, if you play a 2-QB league, then obviously grab a QB and then wait to see what happens. But other than that, QB's out of plethora.
Do you feel comfortable with particularly with the offensive line issues, do you feel good about Tom Brady this year?
I don't. He hasn't been dry. I just have, where he's going, his ADP is kind of all over the place, which is ADP is average draft position. And He's just been all over the place for me. I feel like some people are swayed in which Brady is going to be just fine. It's then the third. It's New England. He's got Gronk back again. Mm-hmm. Julie Edelman's going to be back after four games. He's got Chris Hogan there. I mean, so he's got some weapons. I'm not saying Tom Brady won't be a top QB, but for me, Tom Brady's, I would say his floor is great, but his ceiling is just, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, for me, based on where he's going in ADP, this is just a season for, this is just a season for ADP, and not to say we hate these players, but for me, based on average draft position, that's everything for draft right now. You know what I'm saying? Because I could grab A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers in the fourth round, but then kind of be screwed for the rest of my roster later on.
Right.
So it's all about ADP, guys. So, Brady, I mean, I feel he's still going to be a Tom Brady. I mean, I always looked at Tom Brady as more of a real-life quarterback, better than he was fantasy quarterback. So, he's never really been a guy for me that gives an awesome, awesome ceiling, like a Russell Wilson does, like a Cam Newton could possibly do, you know, these type of guys. You know, that has a dual threat type of mentality.
I'll tell you a guy that I haven't been touching in any drafts because I don't like how far up he's been going.
Deshaun Watson.
Nope. Carson Wentz.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's a dude. His ADP, he's going right now in round 5. And it's not just him and the injuries.
Round 5.
And that's not just to speak
high
on.
As a kite, they say.
Yeah. And that's not just his injury. When you go back and you look at it, his number one receiver, Alshon Jeffrey, is also hurt. So,
oh boy,
you know, he probably won't be on any of my teams this year.
I don't blame you. Carson Wentz, I mean, I haven't seen Carson Wentz go that high in some of my mock drafts I've been doing. I've seen Carson Wentz go, like, you know, around the same area as, like, a Drew Brees, so, like, late 6th sometimes, early 7th in some cases, which isn't that bad. But I feel as though that, yeah, I'm not – I think the sophomore slump is, like, going to be real, you know, like, for Watson and Wentz, you know, as a whole. So, I mean, I haven't really been drafting those guys either, just because, like I said before, if I don't get, like, a Russell Wilson or a Drew Brees, consider Cam Newton that same range. If I don't get any one of those guys, then it's kind of like I'm just going to wait for the next two tiers to fall.
Right.
Because once the quarterback run goes, it's like, all right, the quarterback run is over. And it's like you either got the guy you wanted or you're just still waiting for your guy.
There's some names out to you. And I'm still waiting on some callers to call in as we continue our conversation. I'm going to throw a couple of names at you and we'll get your opinions on them. First name, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
I just haven't touched him. I mean, he's going around the same area as, like, Matt Ryan and stuff. But I've always been able to get Matt Ryan or a Marcus Mariota, who I feel he gets an offensive bump this year. You know, I just like that Tennessee offense in general. I just haven't touched Big Ben Roethlisberger. And there's no real reason for it, but understanding that he has some big home road splits. And it's just, in fantasy football, you need consistency. And you can't, if you already feel like a guy is already good, better at home than he is away, it just kind of sways you one way or another.
Andrew Luck
is, I mean, really can be top 5 this year if all goes well. Definitely like T.Y. Hilton as well. Definitely like that pairing. You know, people forget that T.Y. Hilton was a, you know, top 6 guy, you know, a couple years ago.
He was.
When Luck was on. So, I mean, I think Luck definitely has that potential. He's like another guy, just like his ADP is all over the place. I see him anywhere going from the early 7th. Sometimes people are leaving him to the early, like the late 8th. So his ADP is kind of, I can't really gouge his ADP for me to really grab him. So, like, you know, because there's just other positions that I'm looking to get in those 6th, 7th, 8th rounds.
All right. You mentioned him earlier, Deshaun Watson. What do you think about him? How are your feelings about him?
I like Deshaun Watson, but I think the industry and a lot of people I'm talking to and a lot of people I mock draft with, I think he's just putting him a bit too high. Like I said, he's getting picked before Russell Wilson. I think that's just awful. You know, it's like, I like Watson. I like the Hopkins. I like that duo. I like that offense in general, Will Fuller. But I just feel that with the opportunity Russ Wilson has, and his dual threat. I mean, they're both dual threat quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But I think people are putting too much stock into the small sample size that Watson had before he got injured.
Okay, now let's move on to a couple of guys who may shock people. But I'm thinking these guys are going to be bust this year for various reasons. I think Kirk Cousins is going to be a bust.
Give me a reasoning on why Kirk Cousins will be a bust.
I don't trust that Minnesota line. I don't trust the offensive line. It's going to be an issue. At some point, when your division has a team like the Rams, has a team like the Carolina Panthers, somebody who can get pressure against you just coming straight up the middle on you like that, your line has to be ready for that. And what's going to end up happening? Your backs are going to stay in the block more. Your tight end is going to be staying in the block more. And Kyle Rudolph is already questionable as it is. Not that he isn't a good serviceable tight end, because he is, but he can't get out in pass routes if he's going to be in there blocking. So that's the main reason why I think Kirk Cousins may end up being a bust.
I think we disagree, because I think Kirk Cousins is going to come in and be he's going to be solid. I feel what Cousins did around that Redskins offense. Like, come on, he made basically he made it happen in Washington. You know, that's the reason why he had those 1-year contracts over and over again. But I feel him being surrounded by Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and I like Kyle Rudolph, actually. And Dalvin Cook's coming back, so that will help. And I think the offensive line for the Vikings, I think, actually was one of the better offensive lines, because coming into the season last year, they were actually ranked pretty low as offensive line. But as the year went on, they were actually starting to gel and actually looking better than we thought. So that being said, I'm not too concerned about the offensive line at this moment. So I feel as though that the Vikings offense is going to be one of those offenses where we're going to like. There's just a lot of guys on that offense I like as well. Mm-hmm. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. And, you know, I'm not in love with Kyle Rudolph per se, but I feel he's still solid, and he's always been a well-rounded fantasy tight end that can be reliable.
He's serviceable. Kyle Rudolph is serviceable. I'll give you that. Next guy that I think...
I don't like Kyle Rudolph. It's all right.
next guy I think is a bust at a quarterback position. Alex Smith.
You think it'll be a bust, you said?
Yep.
Alex Smith?
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I don't like the Washington Redskins offense as a, you know, fantasy, like landmine. I mean, it's just a landmine to me because... just because, like, I just don't see them. I just don't see a lot of guys there with a really great ceiling. I mean, Jordan Reed, if he can stay healthy, is always the question. But now with the running back situation, you know, Darius Geis out for the year.
Yep.
They just signed Adrian Peterson today. I just don't see that Washington offense, like, lifting the lid off anything. But for Alex Smith, I think he'll be a QB2 in most leagues. He won't be your starter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's a QB2. So he'll be solid. So, I mean, if you're expecting him to start, then yeah, he's definitely going to be a bust.
Yeah.
But if he's solid depth behind your quarterback, then for that bye week or so, or you want to use him for mismatches, I wouldn't mind Alex Smith being a QB2.
How about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo is just, he's been the question mark of all the quarterbacks this season for me. I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be able to do just yet. He's proven that he can put the numbers up, but he'd be a solid guy. But for a guy, for me, when it comes down to getting a quarterback, I want a guy that has a great, like a he has a decent floor and an awesome ceiling, because you want to get a quarterback that can finish QB1, finish QB2. In an era in which QBs are, like, you know, now so deep. So that being said, I feel like Garoppolo, I just feel like he can't finish like 5 or better. So that's why I'm not picking him, and I feel like my jury is out on him currently.
Me too.
I don't think he's going to be a bust, but I don't think he's going to finish past QB7 this year.
See, my issue with Garoppolo is, or as Molly Carver say, Jimmy G. My issue with him, I don't fully trust his weapons. I know you got Pierre Garçon coming back. You got
Marcus No. Pierre Garçon.
You got Pierre Garçon coming back. You got Marquise Goodwin. You got Kittle at the tight end. You got Brenda at the running back. You got Jared McKinnon. No. I don't fully trust his weapons. And he's playing in a division where the Seahawks, they're not what they used to be on defense. But Russell Wilson can still put the brakes to him on offense. He is everything Seattle does. You look at the Cardinals, we'll see what they do. I just don't trust the weapons that Jimmy Garoppolo has. And then you look at the 49ers defense might put him in a hole most games too. So, yeah, I don't fully trust him. I think he's going to end up being maybe 7, like you said before, maybe 8 quarterback-wise, but I'm not hyped up on him being a starter. I need something that's going to be a little bit more consistent to me. I have a Yahoo League right now where my two quarterbacks are Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, and I'm pretty happy with that. So we're going to keep that thing rolling. We're going to keep that thing going. Next quarterback I want to ask you about, and I have him as a bust. You might have him as a solid QB. Jared Goff.
I hate Jared Goff. I hate Jared Goff. I'm sorry, man. He's going to be a big bust. He's going to be a big bust in my mind. It's just, there's just guys, like I said, that I'm my QB. So it's like, there's only certain guys that I want. And Jared Goff's not even, I haven't even considered him. He hasn't been on any mock draft of mine. I haven't even queued him up in anything. That's how bad it is. I just don't like how Jared Goff, like, because the thing is with me is that he doesn't fire the ball downfield enough for me to really have to really warrant him to even a selection.
Right.
You know,
right.
Especially the guys around his tier. Like, you know, like around that tier, Patrick Mahomes is there, you know what I'm saying? Phillip Rivers is there and stuff like that. Those guys are proven.
Yep.
And not proven, not Mahomes. But like I'm talking about Rivers. But I'm just saying, like, in his tier, it just, I don't know. I'd even take Case Keenum over him. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I just don't like Jared Goff. I just don't. I mean, Todd Gurley's going to be the man there, but I just don't like Jared Goff.
And it's like, they seem to have one debate outside of maybe Cooper Kupp. The rest of their receivers in Woods, and now you pick up Brandon Cooks, one-dimensional. And I just don't see him being able to convert those long touchdown passes that, my guest on the line number 2, Mr. John Canty. John, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Big? Sorry I'm late, brother.
No problem, man. But to finish my thought on Jared Goff real quick, I just don't see them converting on those long bombs that those receivers are capable of doing, because I don't think Jared Goff has the arm strength to get them down there consistently.
Yeah, I mean, like you were just saying, like you got two players who are kind of like one-dimensional. You know what I'm saying? Like Brandon Cooks was, I mean, New England couldn't even like find a consistent way to like pop off the top of Cooks. So that kind of tells you something in my mind. And this is the same team that Watkins, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs gave him $16 mil, yo.
Yep.
Gave him $16 mil a year. So, you know, so that being said, that kind of just tells me that, you know, Cooper Kupp is definitely the guy there that they'll probably want to feature in a sense. And a couple of other guys will be like field stretchers. I think Robert Woods' last season year was an anomaly. I don't think we're going to see that again.
Me too.
And I think Cooks will be like pretty effective, but he won't be like, he's getting drafted like 5th round, and I'm like 4th round, and I'm like, not for me. So only person I like on that Rams team is Todd Gurley, and I wouldn't even select him number 1 overall today.
Right. I don't blame you on that one. John, we're talking about quarterback bust. Do you have any quarterback bust that's in the back of your mind right now?
I'm not gonna call them bust yet, but just a few guys that I'm not drafting this year. Like, I don't know. I don't want Alex Smith this year.
There you go.
I mean, but that's about it. I mean,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't just say one guy you're not drafting.
Yeah. Let me throw some names out to you. Let me throw some names out to you, John. You said Alex Smith. We all agree on Alex Smith. He's just suspect as hell. Kirk Cousins. You looking at Kirk Cousins, man?
Well, Case Keenum hasn't looked good to me even preseason, you know.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's going to take time for him, I think, a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So it's preseason. I'd still take him over Alex Smith today.
And also, too, I think, man, in all the mock drafts I've been doing, you can wait late to tell on a quarterback.
You can.
Phillip Rivers has been my backup quarterback in a lot of leagues. I did a mock today, and Big Ben was still there in the 10th round. So, I mean, I think you can really wait and still get some quality at that position.
Definitely. We were just talking about that.
Yep. Value. You want to wait as long as you can. Feel like you're stealing it from the rest of the league. Now, I want to bring up another name, John. I want to get your opinion on him. We talked about him a little bit earlier. Deshaun Watson. What's your opinion on Deshaun Watson?
I'm not going to reach for him. But if he falls in my lap, I'll take him. I mean, he has one of the best wide receivers in the game. I don't care who's throwing the ball at him, he's going to catch it.
Yep.
And Hopkins. And then, Will Fuller is an up-and-comer. And then he has legs. You know, and he's looked good in the preseason. So he's not a guy I'm reaching for. But if it's in a decent round, like you say, value, I'm all over him.
Now, you brought up Phillip Rivers. Are you also looking at guys like Derek Carr, Dak Prescott?
I'm not a fan of those two names you just gave me.
Okay, so let's go back to Dak, because honestly, the only thing I can say about Dak Prescott is that, you know, people are really concerned about him being a number one, having a number one receiver. But why else is people hating on Dak Prescott? I need to know.
Well, I mean, when we saw Dak without Zeke last year, he was, what, mediocre at best?
Yeah, so true.
Now Zeke is going to cover up a lot of that for him, but at some, you know, you're going to need a wide receiver. And I can't, you know, pardon me, I can't think of the kid's name who's, you know, looking to be the number one, but
Michael Gallup. I see what you're saying, but I think Dak Prescott has a great offensive line, and he still has that running floor that you don't get in a lot of those quarterbacks that around that late. You know what I'm saying? So that you saying that Ezekiel Elliott, you know what I'm saying, is going to cover up some things, sure, but I still think Dak Prescott has a great running floor around that area when you're looking at guys, you know, who to take. Now, just to make for argument's sake, I mean, Phillip Rivers is a solid guy. But he's not a second-half guy of the year, you know what I'm saying, in which he will win you a fantasy football championship. Like, this guy is terrible in the month of December, which is where fantasy football championships are won.
I agree. Phillip does tend to fizzle out, and that may be more of my personal fanmanship for the guy.
Right.
But that's definitely a fact. But if I, you know, a lot of drafts that I'm seeing, because I'm reaching for Andrew Luck, and that might be a problem. He looked bad against Baltimore, but I'm reaching for Luck. But
it's
I'm
not
looking
bad
to get
reach. I don't think that's a bad reach, because we know what Andrew Luck's ceiling can be.
Yeah.
Top five.
Right. He's won me a championship, a fantasy championship. So, I mean, I'm holding on to that.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that when I'm looking for a backup quarterback, I'm seeing Rivers and Jimmy G are there. And I might have to start rolling with Jimmy G as that backup over Rivers. You know, he's a younger guy.
ADP-wise, I'm not sure if that would just be, like, decent, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because especially if you're going to grab a quarterback, like, a few rounds, like, ahead. That makes sense to grab Jimmy G like around like the 7th and 8th, and then have your quarterback 4th or 5th?
Well, not at all, because I mean, I've been doing a lot of 10-team PPR mock, and by the time I'm filling my last three spots, Jimmy G is there, Mariota is there, Goff is there, and Rivers, you know, tends to be going ahead of these guys, and I've been doing a lot of mock, so it's been pretty consistent. And Rivers is going ahead of those guys, but I like Mariota.
Okay, me too. I'm all over Mariota late, for sure. Because I've been doing a lot of 12-teamers, so it's like it's a little bit different. So Mariota is being blatantly disrespected. Like, people are just taking out their ding-a-ling and just smacking people in the face with it. Like, just utterly disrespectful right now that they're doing Marcus Mariota.
Now, John, Mariota's a good quarterback, and I think we're going to see a lot out of Corey Coleman this year.
Now, let me ask you this. We were talking about, at least I was, there's two players I'm not touching. I'm not touching Jared Goff, and I'm not touching Carson Wentz when he's being drafted right now. What's your opinion on Carson Wentz, John?
I would like to see him play in the preseason a game or two, you know, even if it's just like two or three series. But I think he'll win you a championship in the second half of the season. This may, you know, just value and where you can get him at. But as I'm seeing again in these mocks, his value's going down, Lux is going up, as far as when they're being taken. But I think Wentz is solid. You just may need to grab a solid backup because you may not be able to use him until week three or four.
If I can get Wentz round six, seven, I'm happy.
I say that's good value.
But right now, his ADP is round five. No. Can't do it. A couple of names I want to throw at you guys. Feel free to chime in. Matt Ryan.
Can I get an opinion real quick before you move on?
Sure.
Wentz or Big Ben?
Huh?
Wentz or Ben Roethlisberger? Carson Wentz or Ben Roethlisberger?
You said Ben Roethlisberger or who?
Carson Wentz or Big
Carson
Ben?
Wentz. I'm taking Wentz.
And I'm taking Wentz too.
Yeah,
just because of offense. I mean, I like the weapons in Steelers Nation, but we all know the Eagles are going to throw. And if Wentz is healthy, I'm going to take him.
It's got to be Wentz.
I agree.
It's got to be Wentz. Just for what you were saying earlier, Nick, that are you looking at the home road split of Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It really is. And I think it might roar his ugly head even more now. You might have some discontent between Brown and Big Ben after the comments Antonio Brown said about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if I was Big Ben, I'd be looking at him sideways, but that's just me.
And we all know Big Ben is pretty sensitive anyway.
He is. He is. He really is. He really is. He probably took him in a training room and said, "Bro, what you doing?
Watch out for the bathroom stalls."
Yeah. Bro.
College ladies.
Bro, what you doing? I'm supposed to be your number one. But a couple of guys we want to bring up. First deal I'm going to bring up as a potential sleeper, if you can call him that, Matt Ryan. What do you guys think about Matt Ryan, where he should be going right now?
I never have the faith in Matty Ice.
Don't let Tommy hear you say that, John.
I mean, well, you've known me about 6 years now, and I mean, I've never been a fan of any Falcon except for Julio. And
the hate's real.
Only people John like, he like Julio. Who? What? Maybe Freeman?
No, I'm not. I mean, and I'm not drafting Freeman. You know, I'm taking Jay Ajayi before I'm taking Freeman, and I'm scared of Julio. Now, if I can get Julio eighth or ninth in that first round, I'll take him.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have Beckham and Keenan Allen.
But you know, and we'll get to that, and we'll get to running backs in a minute. But you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, you might have a point on that. Ajayi over Freeman. You might have a point on that. Ooh. Yeah.
And I would take that back to the offense. The Eagles are going to score. They're going to get to the goal line.
You said Ajayi over
Freeman? Yeah, I like Ajayi over Freeman.
Which Freeman, Vontae or Royce?
Devontae.
Yeah, Devontae.
Yeah.
Really? Come on, no. I'm starting to see it, though.
Because the one thing with Ryan, he's in the second. He's won his second season with the same coordinator. Atlanta tends to stall when they get to the red zone. they tend to stall, have to kick a lot of field goals versus going for touchdowns. You saw that last year. You saw it the year before. They tend to stall at times and not get the ball across. So, yeah, I'm starting to see that.
Listen. So, Devontae Freeman easily over Jay Ajayi.
And don't mean to cut you off, Nick. But one more thing too, you gotta look at. Tevin Coleman's gonna take some of those touches.
I still want Devontae Freeman. Look, Devontae Freeman, I feel, still has that top six upside when you're looking at guys who could potentially break open to that top six running back position. Devontae Freeman's still a guy for me that has that upside, and I'm still able to get him middle to late second. Jay Ajayi, for me, I still feel will have competition from Corey Clement, and it's not being talked about enough. And Corey Kmet outworked him in the Super Bowl. So, that being said, that's something to definitely consider. I don't get the Jay Ajayi hype in, over free.
Well, I'm not a fan of the individual with Ajayi, but the team that he's on, and the amount of points I think the Eagles are going to score is what gives him the edge for me.
Yeah.
And I think Tevin Coleman is a bigger threat to Freeman than Clement is to Ajayi as far as, vulture and touchdowns, at the goal line. And Ajayi can take it there. He can give you a 40-yard touchdown run.
He can.
He has that anyway.
Now, I do want to go ahead and finish up on quarterbacks real quick on a couple of other names that no one's really, really talked about. First of all, Mitchell Trubisky.
There's guys in the industry that will take Mitch Trubisky as a sleeper, QB type two,
right?
And I can see that, but I quarterback has just been so deep, and I've been able to have so many options. Say even at a 12-team league, that haven't even considered Mitchell Trubisky, honestly.
I think
he'll be okay. He'll be better than he was last year because he has more weapons around him. Definitely like Matt Nagy, what he's doing with some of those guys offensively. But I just feel Mitch Trubisky won't be that guy that will crack the top 10.
I'll let us see Allen Robinson do something more in the preseason before I give Trubisky number 2 status. I would love to see him do more. But we'll see. And last name I want to get out there to finish up with quarterbacks. What do you guys think about Tyrod Taylor?
I'm staying away. I'm staying away. But one thing I will say about Tyrod, if they can stay together, he has some decent weapons around him.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get 10 games out of Josh Gordon. Hell, 8.
Yep.
You get 8 games out of Josh Gordon, and then the tight end is great.
Well, he said
he's
a Cleveland fan.
Oh no,
not at all.
Let me tell you about John.
Ty got a turn at some point.
Let me tell you about John.
Simmons on the phone here.
Let me tell you about John. John is a Ravens fan.
To the end.
He's a Ravens fan to the end.
And we have a right-handed Michael Vick right now.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Now, there's a buddy of mine. I'm glad you brought that up. There's a buddy of mine who says that Lamar's not going to make it. And the thing that I don't understand, why can't he make it?
Lamar just needs to sit behind Flacco for another year or two and get bigger and just learn that NFL game. And he could probably play for 10 years.
I mean, I agree. I mean, we looked at, this is a prime example of what Green Bay had a decade ago when they drafted Aaron Rodgers and then Brett Favre was playing. We don't get a chance to see too many times where quarterbacks can sit behind the quarterback and actually learn and adjust to the game and learn different, schemes and positions and everything such like that from playbook standpoint. You really get both familiar. I think if Lamar Jackson is able to sit back and watch for a while, he definitely will be able to transition. The problem, though, Joe Flacco has been, he's been looking nice, you know what I'm saying? But Flacco's 33. The Ravens can cut him at the end of the year and save a ton of cap room. So, will there be some pressure on Lamar Jackson to possibly play soon enough if Flacco comes out the gates 2-4? Yes. So, we'll see what happens.
Well, I think what I'm optimistic about, and you know, you're speaking from a Ravens, speaking from a Ravens fan standpoint, so of course I'm probably going to be more optimistic than the next man. But,
get it.
I think Flacco knows a decent quarterback is on his ass, you know, as somebody that has the potential to be. And I love Crabtree there. I love Alex Collins and John Brown. If he can stay healthy, I mean, he can stretch the field. And the defense always comes. So,
yeah.
You know, Flacco might be there late. We might be there late. But from a fantasy standpoint, I'm not playing Flacco. I'm not drafting Flacco.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our running backs. And me and you talked about it earlier, Nate. The only strategy that really is with running backs is one strategy. And some people take it, some people don't. Zero RB means that you would take a running back much deeper into your draft than normal. Probably looking at around 5 or 6, looking at some tier 5 or 6 guys. I wouldn't advise it, particularly in our Rant AM league, which is 18 teams. But have any of you fellas ever played zero RB running back strategy before?
It just doesn't for me. I mean, look, fantasy football is all about your adjustments. When you come into a draft, you know, you never know how it's really going to shape out. So you can have that strategy, and then all of a sudden it changes. Like, you know, some guys there at like round 3, you didn't expect to be there, so you got to pounce on it. You know, so to have that zero RB strategy, it's like, you know, it worked a couple of years ago, but I feel as though that because there's not so many workhorse running backs anymore,
right?
It's almost like you can't really use that strategy to its full effect because you're really be fishing for a RB1, like, you know, who, like, you're really kind of banking on who could be an RB1 and then later on getting your RB2. So it's like, or like counting on the waiver wire later in the season, which is kind of like luck and mystery and chance. So
I agree with that completely. I feel like you can't, if one is there, you can't not take them. Because after Melvin Gordon, it gets rough. Because,
yep.
I mean, after Melvin Gordon, Fournette is gone. My guy from Minnesota is gone. And, of course, you know, Barkley, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon, all those guys are gone. You know what I mean? So at that point, then you're looking at your Denver running back, and that's a rookie, so you're taking a chance. Jay Jay is there, Deion Lewis, and the guy he's sharing the backfield with, so you got a committee there. It's just murky as hell after my guy from the Chargers. Sorry for getting their names. Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, you said it.
You're looking at guys like Theo Riddick, Giovanni Bernard, Chris Ivory, LeGarrette Blount, Frank Gore. James White might be the best tier 6 guy I've ever seen. But,
I agree with that. I mean,
I was looking at it the other day. I'm like, well, Gio Bernard has an opportunity because there's not a lot of weapons in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
But all those guys you said, I'm like, yeah. Like, I mean, LeGarrette Blount has an opportunity to get some touchdown carries, of course, in Detroit. But other than that, it's like James White fits New England offense. They're going to be checking down a lot. You know, they say he might even take on the Deion Lewis role. So who knows?
But there's some more talent that still be available in rounds, you know, 6 and beyond. Like, you know, you got your Duke Johnson.
Yeah. Samaje Perine.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to step up. He's going to have to with that injury in Washington.
Got to.
We were not saying that name ever again on this podcast.
Correll is another one.
Yes. Yeah, Isaiah Correll. Yeah.
And, yep. You know, you have some guys who take chances on LeSean McCoy that I'm not one of them, but he'll be there.
I just traded him in my keeper for Adam Thielen, so I was really happy.
I would have did the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have did the same thing.
Yep.
Go Thielen.
Oh, yeah. You got to be suspended.
And then there's a rookie in Detroit and then the rookie in Denver that are worth looking at before you have to. Kerryon. And Deion Lewis and tell me the other guy's name in Tennessee.
Derrick Henry in Tennessee.
Yes, you're gonna pick all those guys up before you're looking at a Gio Bernard.
Yeah.
A Theo Riddick. You know, all of those guys are going to be picked up, and then you would hope for Rex Burkhead too.
C.J. Anderson should be there.
Yeah, and I think C.J. Anderson going to be solid, but McCaffrey looks great in the preseason.
He does.
When we're talking about guys, I feel after, like you were just saying, those top tier running backs, I feel like you are kind of taking a gamble. You kind of take a swing. So after those guys, I mean, you know, after your LeSean McCoys and after those guys in like the late second round, yeah, I like Joe Mixon at the second third turn. I like Jerick McKinnon, even though people are, you know, doubting him because of the shoulder. I like Alex Collins because he has no competition there, you know. So those guys kind of are in that same tier. And the next tier for me will be Jay Ajayi, Kenyon Drake, and those type of guys in that next tier. And then it's kind of all the guys we were kind of saying before, like, you know, the Kerryon Johnsons, the Rex Burkheads, the Ronald Jones, you know, those guys. So it's just kind of like based on tiers, like, you know, it's how it goes. So when we're talking about running backs, like I said, you got to get your workhorse running back. And then you got to get someone solidified who's like, I'm just an all believer in a guy, you know, in guys you get, you know, who don't have a lot of competition because, you know, you want all that workhorse running back. You don't want to be dealing with all these stupid committees and all these landmines when you're talking about these tiers. So, you know, when you're talking about this type of tier, that's where I kind of go.
You know who I feel is a bust at the running back spot? And his name just glares out at me as bust. Jordan Howard.
It's interesting. I mean, for Jordan Howard, for me, it's really... It's interesting because Jordan Howard was like is a solid running back, so I mean, I like how he is like first and second down, but Tariq Cohen is there and I feel he'll eat away at some of his workload, and it's just right. I don't know how they'll use Tariq Cohen in a sense, but it just for he is a question mark for me out of all the running backs, you know, because that's why I name him. He's kind of like a guy that's like a question mark, real question mark, because we don't know how Chicago's going to be this year.
Yep.
And I like running backs who will be, like what John was saying earlier about Jay Ajayi, you want a guy that's going to be one. He has opportunity to score more touchdowns than not, or be, you know, have a positive game script, in my opinion. That's what you look at for running backs, a positive game script. You know, you want guys to have an opportunity to score touchdowns.
I agree with that. You know, Trubisky is young, and they still be prone to turnover. And then if he's not a threat, the defense isn't going to respect the quarterback, so they're going to bear down on the running back. So he's another guy I've been avoiding in drafts. I mean, he has to be a great body for me to pick him up.
How do you guys feel about Kareem Hunt?
I'm avoiding him. I'm not avoiding him at all costs, but I feel that I won't be drafting a first round. Just because I feel there's guys in that first round, like, you know, after Barkley, you know, I like to get Fournette over Gordon. That's like, I like Gordon. And after that, it's kind of like, maybe I've even seen McCaffrey starting going very early second, even late first now, you know, so yeah, it's crazy. So the love for McCaffrey is real. So, that being said, I mean, there's definitely guys I'd like over Kareem Hunt. I don't mind seeing Kareem Hunt, but I would love to wait until the second round to get him and grab a high-tier receiver first, like an Odell Beckham Jr., maybe a Hopkins falls around that area, and then be able to grab Kareem Hunt in the second round. But, no, there's a couple other guys I just like better than Kareem Hunt. I just feel that Andy Reid and his tendencies on mostly, you know, last year was kind of an anomaly for Andy Reid, because he normally doesn't overuse his running backs like that. I believe Kareem Hunt had over 70-something% of the draft, like the carry load, which normally doesn't happen in Andy Reid offenses. So that being said, I feel like Spencer Ware is coming back, and there'll be some carries that'll be going towards him, and in that nature. So, and they'll be behind some games. So.
I think with Kareem Hunt, though, I like him late first round still. Not over a Fournette. He's really close to McCaffrey right now. I don't want And I want Melvin Gordon over him. But Andy Reid uses his running backs. And I think Mahomes is a decent quarterback. And then you got to respect Tyreek Hill. You got to respect Kelce. You know, so I think he's going to have his chances. I mean, and he was a top running back last year. I think he got tired. You know, and another year in the NFL with the conditioning, I can't see him really falling off too much of that last year's pace.
I got that. I think what happened with Kareem last year, there were times where I had Kareem Hunt, and I had drafted him in like fourth round, you know, like last season, was able to get a championship because of it. But there was definitely times where I was really frustrated when Kareem Hunt just, for some reason, he just had these awful, like, low-scoring, like, low-yardage games.
And I was, that was all after Week 10.
Right. Right.
It was all after Week 10. I mean, you even questioned whether you're going to start him or not some weeks, because I had him, too, in a league or two. And some weeks late in the season, you didn't even know if you're going to start Kareem Hunt at all, but I got to give him an opportunity if I get him the 8th, 9th pick of the first round, or even top of the 2nd, if he's even there.
Top of the 2nd, definitely. No doubt about it. Top of the 2nd for me. After that double pick, if I don't have it, yeah, absolutely, I definitely pounce on that.
Well, last thing before we finish up the running backs, you guys trust in David Johnson to have a full season this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. David Johnson, because what happened was it was a wrist injury. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, see, anything for me, anytime you hear a guy lower limb injuries, I do cringe, especially at running back. I'll cringe for sure. That's why I traded McCoy away in my keeper because of the groin injury and stuff like that. Like, I was still shocked I was able to get Adam Thielen of all people. But I'm just saying, like, when you hear lower limb injuries, especially when we're talking about running backs, anything with a knee, ankle, Achilles, a groin, anything to do with the shiftiness of how to be elusive as a running back, you worry. But David Johnson only had a wrist injury, kept him out for the whole season, but that doesn't mean like he won't be ready to go. His condition is going to be just fine, and I feel David Johnson could definitely finish a top 3 running back this year. So I have no doubts.
John, you trust him?
This may be an unpopular opinion, but I like David Johnson over Le'Veon and Gurley for 2 reasons. I think he wants to prove that he's healthy.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he wants to prove that he's healthy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the last year of a rookie deal?
Yep, sure is.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So he's looking to get that bag, and this is why I like him over the other two top 3 running backs. Le'Veon's not a happy player. He hasn't gotten his money, so I don't think he may play to avoid injury this year. And Gurley got his money, and so the house is being upgraded. The women are probably looking better. He may be a little, and he's in LA. He may be a little distracted. Give me David Johnson if I got the first pick. I mean, and then if I'm top 4, I'm probably still going to get him. He'll probably still be there for me.
All right, let's talk wide receivers. Move over to wide receiver trio. What are some of these guys you guys are looking at in your drafts? Is it a sure-gone conclusion that Antonio Brown is your number 1 receiver?
John, you want to go first?
I'll take it. I think in PPR, he has to be. He has to be your number 1. In a PPR league, and I really can't think of, I can't say any name that I would pick over him, even in standard. I mean, Schuster is going to take some work from him, but I mean, who's better than Antonio Brown?
No Julio, no Odell Beckham.
Nah. Not right now.
Barring injury, is going to be another year in which Antonio Brown is going to lead the receivers because just Antonio Brown is just that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just does it week after week, and he's just so consistent and everything. I think next year that debate will definitely heating up next year, especially if Odell gets paid and he balls out this year. That question could definitely come up again next year when we talk about it. But I think this year, I think Antonio Brown's safe to once again repeat as number 1. But there are guys like, you know, there is a scenario where he could get passed up this year, but it's kind of unlikely. I mean, if somehow, you know, Watson stays healthy, I think Hopkins has an opportunity. I think OBJ has an opportunity. And if Julio Jones touchdowns go up, he has an opportunity. Other than that, nah.
Julio needs to get his ass in camp. And everybody keeps saying, well, Matt Ryan got his money. Matt Ryan's contract was done. Was going to be done next year. So they went ahead and renegotiate now, which is nothing new in the league. Julio got, what, 3 years left?
I don't think he was getting any guaranteed money during those 3 years or something like that. Something along with his contract that I don't think he was getting, like, enough, like, guaranteed money or something like that, so... I think that's why they had restructured his deal, but I could be wrong on that.
But Julio need to get his ass in camp. He caught 5 touchdowns last year. 5. Come on, bro.
I thought it was less, for sure. I thought he only caught 3.
Come on, bro. Stop holding out. Yeah. You guys
gotta protect the asset, man. He did have over 1,400 yards, so, I mean, that's true.
You guys think he's upset because they drafted Calvin Ridley?
Nah. I just think he wants some insurance. You know, he's starting to get that foot injury can come back at any point to bother him. And he knows he's seen some other scenarios in the league where dude's not getting paid. And I think he wants some security. I can't blame him for that.
Not at all.
Any busts you guys see at the wide receiver position? Any breakouts you guys might think of at the wide receiver position?
John, you had the floor.
I like Robbie Anderson. Ooh. Especially when I'm able to draft him. Robbie Anderson from the Jets. Mm-hmm. I think he has number one potential, and he's available late in drafts. So I think, because he flashed a lot last year, so I like him a lot. Dobson in Washington. They said he's having a good camp. And he can stretch the field. I mean, Alex Smith showed us last year to throw the ball deep, so that might be interesting. I like Kenny Galladay a lot in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He can take over as number one. He's a big kid and he can run. I think that's what I got. Those three, I can't think of anybody else off the top of the head.
I like a couple of breakouts. I love DJ Moore over with Carolina. I'm loving him right now. He's got that speed to get down the field, give Cam Newton another weapon. They're going along with Devin Funchess, loving him down there. Another dude that sort of kind of, I don't know if he doesn't come back. I'm sort of kind of like Nelson Aguilar of the Eagles. I'm sort of kind of feeling him a little bit.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm loving that.
I think he could become a number one because any of us drafted Alshon Jeffrey? Do any of us believe in Alshon Jeffrey again?
I don't.
No way.
He's still hurt.
Nice. He's trash.
His good days are behind us.
Some guys I like for sure. Chris Hogan is a guy for me that is being a little disrespected. Is definitely a guy that could finish, you know, in the top eight for sure. Hogan, like Sanders, I have a bounce back this year for sure.
Emmanuel Sanders,
Sanders. And Mike Williams for the Chargers. If something happens to Keon Allen, Mike Williams is seeing a ton of volume as a number one receiver in LA, and that.
Yes.
Where I'm at an ADP level, give me all of that. And I got chips. So
he's a great one. That's a great one. Write that name down.
Absolutely. Another guy that I'm pretty high on is Allen Robinson, Chicago. I think the way Matt Nagy is going to use him all over the field gives me already great hope that Allen Robinson can be a wide receiver. Can go back to that 2015 version when we saw him smash double-digit touchdowns. So, he's definitely a guy I like as well. And then there's one more guy that I'll say, and it's because of the Seattle situation, as a sleeper, there's two guys I'll say. So one guy, Tyler Lockett, because Phil, he's got an opportunity to finally put it all together in Seattle. There's so many targets missing in Seattle. Jimmy Graham is gone. Paul Richardson is gone now. So there's so many targets now available. So that's the reason I like Baldwin and I like Lockett. Another guy that continues to get steam, and I just love it. But no one's not talking about him enough. Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the kid is amazing. And just looking back some of the highlights, Week 17 against New Orleans, where he put up over 10 catches, 100 yards, and a TD, game-winning TD. And once Winston comes back, I'm excited. I think he definitely beat out DeSean Jackson to be the number two guy. And where I'm getting Chris Godwin, if he lands that role, and if I'm prophesizing this the right way, I think Godwin has the sky's the limit for the kid.
Anybody got any wide receiver bust? I got a call.
I do.
Go ahead, man.
Let's just say here comes the bust segment. So, as far if we're looking at like top guys, if we're looking at top guys like who's going like the first three or four rounds, like I hate Golden Tate. Like I just don't like Golden Tate. There's just something about the guy that I just don't like. You know, I just he's just okay. So Golden Tate, right? Let's go back to last season. Mm-hmm. There were six games where Golden Tate didn't receive. He didn't receive six targets in those games. He finished with less than 50 yards in those games where he wasn't targeted enough. So the guy needs continual volume in order to really be a guy continuing, like, you know, getting all the volume. I don't like Tate because people I feel he's getting drafted around guys like Jarvis Landry, Demaryius Thomas, and stuff like that. And I'm like, how? You know what I'm saying? I just don't like it. I just don't like the upside. And I'm with my boy John because I love Kenny Galladay. I just like him a little bit too much. Another guy that could really potentially bust, Tyreek Hill, Kansas City Chiefs. And yes, the guy has breakaway speed. Yes, he is a burner. And yes, he is multiversed. However, I just feel that how consistent can that be over a season? And it's happened twice, you know what I'm saying, like back-to-back years. But I feel as though that's going to run out soon enough. And where he's being drafted, I just don't like where he's being drafted there. So one more guy that I'm going to say is just going to bust, and I think we already talked about him, is Alshon Jeffrey. Nelson Aguilar just a little bit better, just like you guys. I like Nelson Aguilar just a little bit better. Check this out. Last season, Aguilar finished as wide receiver 30. Alshon Jeffrey finished wide receiver 29. all that says is that I'm getting Nelson Aguilar in the seventh round.
Better value.
Drafting Jeffrey in the fourth or fifth.
Much better value.
I'll take Aguilar all day.
Much better value.
Yeah. And he's young.
Yep. John, you got any busts?
It's only.
Oh, and Pierre Garçon. Forget him. He's trash.
Damn, man. I'm glad you brought up Garçon.
Don't draft him.
It was two guys. I think it was a couple guys who missed in the breakouts. And Marquise Goodwin is going to take over that number one role from Pierre Garçon in San Francisco.
No doubt.
And we also didn't mention Corey Davis. I know we said his name earlier in the show, but Corey Davis is another big breakout candidate.
Yes.
Big breakout.
I just want to touch on that.
Yes.
No doubt.
I got a couple of busts. I think Kelvin Benjamin is going to be a bust.
Oh, no doubt.
He has no QB play in Buffalo. None. He said those comments about Cam Newton earlier. He going to wish and pray he was back in Carolina by the time the season's done. He's going to wish and he's going to hope and pray to be back. Speaking of Carolina, I think DJ Moore's going to take most of Devin Funchess' touches. I think Devin Funchess, you might see him be more productive in the red zone than you do see him be productive between the 20s. Not feeling Funchess. I really didn't feel Funchess last year, and I'm definitely not feeling him this year.
Definitely big bust.
I think that's big.
Why are we talking about him?
I think Allen Hurns is going to be a bust. I just don't see Dak Prescott getting the ball down there to him enough in the offense in order for him to be effective.
That's interesting. Mm.
And the last.
I kind of like Allen Hurns though. I kind of like Allen Hurns because, like, you know, someone's got to get the volume in Dallas, and it can't just be a Michael Gallup.
That's
true. I think when Allen Hurns is healthy, I think he showed flashes when he was with Blake Bortles.
But I think, so. But I think the other thing that hurt Allen Harris too. You got Tavon Austin there.
I don't. Oh, stop it!
Just saying. Stop it. Just saying. You gonna run your because what is Tavon? What is Tavon Austin? What is Tavon Austin? Tavon Austin is a gadget.
He hasn't done anything.
But he's a gadget guy. He's a gadget guy. He's a gadget guy, and someone who can get down the field and break the lid wide open. I don't think Allen Hurts is going to be healthy, and with him not being completely healthy, how can he be effective?
I disagree. I think Allen Hurts going to be. I don't think he's going to be a bust at all. I think he's going to have an opportunity to show the world that he could be a wide receiver one for an offense. So I disagree.
Definitely. We'll see. I think Gallup and Austin. I think that's gonna be the crew down there. And then my last guy, because I'm not feeling Alex Smith, and I know some of you guys may like him, Jameson Crowder. I'm just not feeling Alex Smith. That's where that came from.
I'm just not feeling his ADP.
I'm not feeling Alex Smith.
Feeling his ADP. I like Crowder. I just don't like his ADP. He's getting drafted middle of the seventh. I don't like that.
No.
Yeah, I draft him, but yeah, I definitely want him later.
Late.
Yeah, I'm definitely later in the draft.
Yeah, like he's getting drafted a little bit too high for me. He's like, that's the same round as like Robbie Anderson. I'd rather have Robbie Anderson over him. I'd rather have Sanders over him. I'd rather have Randall Cobb over him. There's just other guys I'd rather have in that space before Crowder. So
we shall see what happens. Go ahead, man.
I'm going to give you guys a controversial bust candidate.
Here we go.
And I hate to say it because I like the guy, but Mike Evans.
Ooh.
And I knew someone was going to bring him up soon enough. Why? Go ahead.
His quarterback play is going to be inconsistent. No Jameis for the first three games. And then who knows what Jameis we're going to get when he comes back.
Right.
When he does come back after that three-game suspension. And then Mike Evans is he doesn't get the separation. He's just big.
Right.
And that's what separates him from guys like Antonio Brown. They get the separation. And I think, I hate to see it because I'm still going to draft him. I mean, I'm going to take T.Y. Hilton over him. They're right there together with me as far as that late second, early third round wide receiver. But I think he has potential to bust. So one of the bigger names that has potential to bust.
I agree. I mean, I'd definitely take T.Y. over Mike Evans. And I've said this for a couple of, since Mike Evans got drafted, he's never really had that separation feel. He's always been a bigger body type of guy. And if he doesn't, get some separation or, work on some of his agility, or if they don't use him sometimes in the slot, he's gonna end him like Des Bryant.
Yep, that's it. Exactly.
I got a potential sleeper. Potential sleeper for me, Cameron Meredith for the New Orleans Saints. I think if he comes back healthy, he's got Drew Brees, he's got Michael Thomas, he's gonna have Mark Ingram after week four. I think he can be a potential breakout.
I agree. I'm gonna stick with Mike Williams. I just think he has all the tools. You're not number seventh overall, for no reason.
This is true.
So
this is true.
It's like I said, Keenan Allen, if he can't stay healthy, or if something happens with him or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I said, just that late in the draft and then something to happen, a star receiver or whatever. It just you're looking at a possible, a high end wide receiver too, as the year goes. Plays along, so I just that upside is just a lot when I'm drafting that late.
All right, let's go ahead and finish this puppy up. Head on to our tight end rankings and sleepers. First of all, guys, what is your strategy on drafting a tight end?
John, go ahead.
I'm trying to fill an honor here. My strategy. If I can get Gronk late second, early third, I'm getting him. Gronk or Kelsey, I'll take them anywhere from the second to the fourth. After that, I'm waiting. I may reach for Zach Ertz. And then I'm going to put Evan Engram in that group behind Zach Ertz. Because I'm scared of all the old guys. I'm scared of Greg Olsen. I'm scared of Delaney Walker.
Right.
You know, I just feel like at any moment it's going to be that breakdown for those guys. Late at tight end, I love George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
I know he separated
his shoulder. That's my guy.
He separated his shoulder. You said it's your guy?
That's my guy, George Kittle.
Yeah, see, I like Kittle late. And you know who else is falling? Jack Doyle.
Yeah.
And I think, you can get Jack Doyle late, and I think he's going to be very productive this year. So I think tight end is a lot of them. I remember a few years ago, tight end was really, really thin. But now you can wait. And you got Jimmy Graham with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball, so you got a lot of options. So you really can wait. So I'd only jump at those top two guys to start it off.
I think when it comes to tight ends, for me, I'm just really not interested in grabbing any tight end before the fifth round. Like, I like Gronk, but I just feel that, like, Gronk is that he's in his own tier, and I get it. And it's a big win if he stays healthy and produces. There's a big if. He's had so many surgeries and injuries over these last two or three years. And he hasn't really provided me with the upside to really win my league in that area of the draft. We're talking about tiers. I mean, yeah, I'd like to have Gronkowski, but it wouldn't be where his ADP is at right now. I'd rather have other guys there. So that being said, I mean, that's that. I mean, I like Travis Kelce, but like I said, there's just other guys when I'm picking that I would want over Travis Kelce for other positions. And then Zach Ertz is a guy I'm having mixed thoughts about. You know, I think he's being drafted a bit too high. If he falls to the fifth, I'm all over it. But I think I'm in agreement with John with some of these older guys. But I like Delaney Walker for his value. He's been consistent for the last 4 years. He's had at least 70 catches and over 800 yards in the last four seasons on average.
Yep.
So he's been stable, consistency, and durable. So I like him value-wise, like seventh round. Kyle Rudolph's a guy that I've liked. If he's there on the board where I'm drafting, I'll take him. But yeah, George Kittle is the guy that I want to talk about. But also Trey Burton, both of those guys for me. Trey Burton is seeing a lot of targets from Trubisky already in this preseason, and it looks like they're just gelling completely already. And then George Kittle for me. And I love how he got, injured. Barring he stays healthy, I definitely like him as a, maybe in the first option, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. And he's just one of those move tight ends that can be very, very effective. And for where I'm getting him in, like, the 10th round, overall value, yeah, I'll take him. I'll take him there.
Hey, I wanted to add one thing about Burton. You know, young quarterbacks tend to, lean towards the tight end, so that could –
You may
see that as well. With Benjamin Boyd. Burton.
Let me throw out a couple of names and see what you guys think. Tyler Eifert and Ben Watson.
How about Ben Watson?
I'm over it.
Sleeper is Ben Watson for sure. Because he's playing New Orleans, the offense there, I feel he's really going underlooked. You know what I'm saying? Benjamin Watson is, and there was a report earlier I saw today that, they were saying, Benjamin doesn't even look like he's 37. So, my guy, Drew Brees. So.
Anybody taking a chance on David Njoku?
No, not me.
Oh, I'm definitely taking him if I can get him late. He'll be my second, he'll be my second tight end, but. I'm not taking him over Doyle, but that's really I put them in the same category almost.
Anybody looking at Austin Hooper?
Nope.
Nah, I'm out.
Nobody looking at Austin Hooper. Cameron Brate.
Who?
I mean, he'll be on waivers if somebody gets hurt. I'll take him off waivers.
I have him on one of my Yahoo teams right now. I have Delaney Walker and Cameron Brant on my Yahoo team. So I'll keep that going.
I don't mind O.J. Howard. I think O.J. Howard is a guy I'd probably take in if we're talking about the Bucs tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
Even though break extension, the years that he has following with that extension doesn't give him any guaranteed money.
I think one dude, who's going to fall off the map is Charles Clay. I really think he's going to fall off the tight end map.
Who is?
Charles Clay.
He's already has.
He wasn't gone before. He's gone now.
He plays in Buffalo, yo.
Yeah.
Buffalo is a trash team right now.
Bad.
I'll give you another name out of like Austin Seferian Jenkins.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't like him.
He's playing with Trash Bortles. Or Blake Bortles, excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to disrespect, but that's what he's playing with right now.
There's a guy in Baltimore I like. It's Hayden Hurst.
Yes.
Yes,
I keep hearing that name.
Yes.
I think he has some talent for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's a guy. Shout out to the Ravens fans out there.
Thank you.
Let me ask you guys another name. Virgil Green, former Denver Bronco, now Charger.
He plays for the Chargers now?
Yep.
Who's that? That guy has had years to wow me, and I'm not wowed.
I'd be lying if I said that wasn't news, what Will just said. But he has an opportunity.
He does. He does.
You know, because Hunter Henry, and man, my feelings were genuinely hurt. I love Hunter Henry. And I hate it when they hit him with his ACL, but he has opportunity, and Phillip Rivers and some have good rapport with his tight end. So, I mean, that's what deeper leagues, you know, deeper leagues or those.
Were you
still an injury?
Were you?
I think there's a guy people protecting right now. I think it's Vance McDonald, the Pittsburgh Steelers. We all know, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has a decent history of throwing his tight end as well. Keith
yes.
Miller.
Yes,
it's true.
I'm saying so. I think Vance McDonald was traded, you know, mid-season last year, so he really never got. I don't think he got really acclimated enough with the system. So, I think this year, if we're looking for deep tight ends, I think Vance McDonald you could take a shot at.
Where are you guys drafting Jordan Reed?
I'm not.
he can't stay healthy, man. I just don't.
Oh man.
I just don't see it. The position's too deep to need him.
I really think the only way
I draft Jordan Reed is that if literally, honestly, if like because of an upside, it'd be an upside thing. He'll be a tight end too for me.
Right.
Won't be
you know what I'm going to draft him? I'm going to draft him in week one of my DraftKings lineup. Because he's going to be cheap and if he does anything, it'll be week one.
the big ball league, boy. The big ball league. I really think Evan Ingram's taking this spot already. I really feel that way. He's going to be playing for... Go ahead.
What do you mean? They're in two different cities.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying in terms... Because you remember back in the day...
He's talking about ranking spots.
Ranking spots, right. In terms of...
I agree.
Yeah.
I got you.
I mean, I like Evan Ingram, but I feel like you can't... Someone's going to miss out on the volume in New York. I feel like... You know what I'm saying?
Fair.
I think all three... You know, all three guys... We're talking about that offense. Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr., and Ingram. Someone's going to miss out on some volume. Don't forget
Sterling
Shepard. Evan Ingram, so that's why I can't... Where he's falling in draft, I can't draft him.
Don't forget Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard, too. He's had some time for a while, man.
It just hasn't happened.
But Ingram can run like a wide receiver, and he just had... His hands weren't great last year.
Yeah.
And hopefully he worked on that, because he got the looks. But, I mean, but that was with Odell Beckham hurt, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I'll still take a chance on Ingram. I like the youth.
Yep. Particularly in keepers. If you ever kept a tight end, he'll be the one you keep.
Yeah,
I agree. Him and Njoku, he'll be the two that you keep. And last but not least, I don't think anybody really goes out of their way, but this position can make you or break you. DSTs. What's your guys' strategy on drafting DSTs?
Should I take the floor, fellas?
Yes.
I'm going late. It's like, you know, I feel like in previous years I had a defense that I would jump at. And if there was one, it would be the Jaguars, but it still wouldn't be till around 9 or 10. But I like I really like the Rams. The Rams, Wade Phillips, Tlaib, you know, and a good running game. I think the Rams might be the number one defense.
I think because it's for me, it's weird for me because sometimes I won't even – I'll leave a draft without even picking a kicker or defense sometimes.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? just because you want to – you want to really evaluate, like, who you want to keep for the season and stuff like that. And having a kicker or a defense is kind of like, you know. Because, honestly, like, look. Last season, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I did that. Was able to keep some guys I wanted. And then, you know, I plucked the defense off the waiver wire just playing matchups. Who did I end up getting? The Jacksonville defense. So.
Can't beat that, man.
Maybe even more better. So, I mean, just. It's all about. I think for me, I'll probably drop a defense possibly last round this year. But. I don't draft kickers. Nope. I just cut someone and fuck someone off the waiver wire.
Dang.
But defensively, I mean, just strategy wise, I mean, just it's just for me. I see some people just grabbing defenses like second or third to last like picks in their drafts. I'm like, you idiot.
What cool. I
tend like just allow me to get more depth for my team. Thank you.
What I tend to do. I wait until after round 12 to draft a defense. I don't go broke over a defense. So a lot of times I end up with a tier 2 DST, but I'm happy with it. If I can get a DST like the Chargers, the Saints, the Ravens, the Panthers, even the Steelers are on the come up. And
I think it's something we might not look at though for sure when we're talking about like the DSTs because. We have to look at how these kickoff changes, you know what I'm saying, and rules are changing. I wrote an article about
too.
That.
That's true,
about
too.
How, like, you know, all these new kickoff rules and stuff like that are changing. So it may change how the strategy goes. So, I mean, if anything, I mean, if I was picking defenses, I always look for a defense, a DST that has a great returner that could possibly take it to the house. So, obviously, you know, years ago, that was the Chicago Bears defense with Devin Hester. You know, Kansas City Chiefs, when we talk about Dante Hall.
Yes.
The X-Man.
So he was doing sticks.
Huh?
What'd you call him, John?
I said the human joystick.
There you go. See?
There you go, yeah.
So just like, yeah, like, you know, the Reggie Bush when he played for the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
So it's like you want to look for those type of game changers on special teams that could possibly have all that speed it could return. So, but I think some defenses that are going in the raid, I think Denver for sure and Houston because J.J. Watt will be back. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, they got Tyron Matthew back here, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you really can wait this year because you really have seven defenses that have a solid seven defenses that have a strong chance of being a number one defense.
True that.
You know, the Rams, the Eagles, the Jaguars, the Ravens, mm-hmm. The Vikings, you know what I mean? It's a lot of strong defenses.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can wait and be fine. I mean, and the Chargers, too, I hate they lost that that safety or that corner they had.
Corner.
Young mm-hmm. guy, but
Jason
you know,
Barrett.
Yeah,
then you got Barrett. But then you got Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram on the edge.
Yeah,
those are sack machines. So forget, I mean, Chargers.
Don't forget the Texans. Don't forget the Texans. Tyron Matthew and J.J. Watt.
Let's say.
Oh yeah, he's from Texas.
That could be eight. That can be eight. So. We shall see.
Hey, and one more thing about the Rams, you know, I didn't realize until the other day I was watching preseason. Rams have Sue and Aaron Donald on that defensive line.
Yep, got yep. both of them.
Mm-hmm. And then you got Tlaib in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
With yep. Wade Phillips coordinating that.
Yep.
That can really be nasty.
I think the only team that might be better, because they have more volume and personnel. Would be the Eagles.
The Eagles intercept the ball and they score touchdowns on defense.
And if you also look at that line, they just rotate people in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And it's like, Haloti Ngata. Oh, he's going to be in there, what, 30 snaps a game, maybe. Rotate him out. I mean, that can just be sick. So,
yeah.
I can see why they're definitely Super Bowl favorites. All right, guys. Before we get out of tonight, anything you guys want to get out there, anything you guys want to promote? Nick, what you got coming up on your show this week, man?
Well, I got coming up is that, you know, the usual, the sports breakdown with Nicholas Wilcox on Facebook and on the Anchor app. We're going to have some guests on, you know what I'm saying? We're going to be talking about, you know, continue talking about fantasy football, continue talking about the NFL and its crazy helmet-to-helmet rule. The NBA season right around the corner soon enough, so, you know what I'm saying? Feel free to holler at your boy. You can find me on Twitter, @Nick_Wilcox25, and on Instagram, Nick.Wilcox_. Saying we talk about sports, we talk about business, we talk about all things, big things don't stop. Big things popping, little things stopping.
And don't forget, guys, everything that we got going on here at Red EM Radio will continue. Tomorrow we have a new episode of The Shining Wizards at 7 p.m., followed by The Rant at 9 p.m. Eastern. Friday, we'll have a new episode of Rant and Wrestling, followed by Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Hopefully, Surf will be back on Sunday with another installment of the Will You Read Comic Show, and then it'll be this fine show, The Sports Report, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, right here, right after Monday Night Raw, right here on Red EM Radio. John, anything you want to get out there before we roll out for the night?
Just two things. Go Ravens and go Lakers.
Oh, God, no. Boy.
Hey, and I want to say this. I've been a Laker fan before LeBron was born.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
But no Lakers.
John, get this man off the show.
Oh,
hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, John. Right, thank you, guys. I appreciate everybody calling in. Appreciate all you guys out there in Rant EM land listening in. I'll be back next Monday, 11:15 p.m. Everybody take care. Peace.
Peace.
All right, guys. Good night. Good night.